We're gonna jump right in. We're gonna be doing about 4 or 5 weeks or so on a particular topic for the month of February and into March. Who can take a guess what we're gonna be talking about in the month of February? Ah, love. Excellent. Can we get Sam? Can you guys grab some Bibles and pass out Bibles? Who's got a Bible with them? Excellent. 10 points over here. 10 points. All right. You can keep track. You can redeem those points later for something. Where did it say that? Oh, up there? Yeah. Excellent. All right, everybody, when you get your Bible, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Who does not have a Bible? Everybody has a Bible now at this point? Oh, we need some Bibles over here. If you got the blue Bible, it's page 637 to make it a little easier. Need a Bible?
I have a Bible right here.
We need one more Bible.
I'm going to go get the Bible.
If you got the blue one, it's on page 637. 637. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Who wants to read 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 7? 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 7. Who wants to stand up and read that nice and loud? Oh, I saw a hand back there, and I know it wasn't for it, but you just volunteered. What? There you go. You're set. Any volunteers? 1 Corinthians. Who wants to read it? 13, 4 to 7. All right. Everybody take a look at it. I'm going to read it. Everybody look in here. Here we go. 637. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now we're going to be looking at this and some more of 1 Corinthians 13 in the following weeks. And today I just kind of hope to introduce some thoughts and to consider why we're looking at love. So why else, besides it being February and Valentine's Day coming up, you know, why are we talking about love? Why should we talk about love at church? What are we talking about when we come here and talk about love? Why is it important? Why is love important? And what is love? And how do you love? And what does a list like this mean for us? Okay. There's one reason why we should look seriously into what biblical love is, what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, what love is in the Bible. And there's one very particular reason why we should do that. It's because we're commanded to. We're commanded to, as Christians, to love. Jesus says that in the book of John, chapter 15. He says, this is my command. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And he says this in a chapter 15 is a really awesome passage, just connecting how Jesus is one with the Father and we are connected to Him, and how He abides in the Father and we abide in Him, and he has love throughout the whole thing. And there's something interesting that I took note of when I was looking at this that I want you guys to take note of also. He says, "My command is this, love each other." How? Love each other as, you know, how does He say we're to love each other? Or notice what He doesn't say. When we're talking about love, He doesn't say, love each other as, you know, as you feel like doing so, or love each other, you know, love each other as long as that other person loves you. He doesn't say, love each other as long as it's enjoyable and exciting. He doesn't say, my command is this, love each other as long as the butterflies in your stomach tell you to do so. You know, when He's talking about what love is and how you should love, he gives an example and a source behind it. And that is, He says, my command is this, love each other as what? As I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. If we're going to be talking about love, and we're going to be spending some time looking into love, we have to know what the source of love is. Where does love come from? And if we are to be commanded to love, and we're to love people in our lives, and all of us have people in our lives that we do love and we long to love, and if we're going to be human beings that love, and if we're going to be Christians that love, we have to understand what that love is, where it comes from. And when you stop and you think about it, you know, we are creatures. We're people that have been created by a creator. And if you just stop and ponder it for a bit, it seems only fitting that, you know, just in the nature of how He's made us, that He would make us in a way that our love, our ability to love, and He Himself being a God that is a relational God, a God of love and a perfect love, you know, that He would make us to relate to Him and to find our love in Him. And as all you guys, I'm sure, have, you know, we know what's the perfect. So the source of love is from God. He's the one that loves us. What's the perfect example? You guys already, you know, you can get ready for your quick, canned Christian answer. What's the perfect example that we have of love? Yes. Jesus. Right. And to really stop and consider that, when we're talking about love, and we're, you know, in our lives, we find ourselves in situations all the time where we're in relationships where either somebody is loving us or we're loving them. And to just put it in perspective and compare, our love, whether it's in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship or a, you know, relationship with your parents, and you love your parents and they love you. You know, to stop and compare that and look at, and to look at as the example, as a perfect example of the love that Jesus has for us. And so what I want to do is, first off, just look at, let's just look at this list again, and everybody's still on 1 Corinthians 13. What I want to do is just to consider what's wrong with our love. What's wrong with our relationships? And there's, you know, all of us here when we look at a list like this, if you guys stop and look at this list and very honestly and seriously consider it, and you put this list, you put this list in your own lives, think about it right now. How many of you guys, you know, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you can stop and you can look at this list and you can say, okay, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, and you can get along here and maybe you're doing fine going through, but then, you know, you get something like love is not self-seeking, you know, and if you're honest with yourself, you can stop and you can look at, you know, if you go down this list and look at these things, you'll find times where, you know, love is not easily angered. You know, how many times we love our parents, but, you know, sometimes we're easily angered by them. Or sometimes we're not patient with them. Or we love, or especially brothers and sisters, right? We all, you know, most of us here have brothers and sisters or close friends that we love, that we say that we love, and we know that we love, but when we look at a list like this, we find that there's a higher standard to love that we're not hitting, that we're not achieving. And it goes without saying, but we're going to say it anyway, that when we have a corrupted version of love that we're living by, when we have when we have a love in ourselves that's messed up by sin and is really rooted in selfishness, and we have a love that, you know, we love somebody but only so long as it's good for us at the same time. When we have a love like that, it's going to cause damage in our own lives and in the lives of the people relating with. There's going to be damage caused from imperfect love, from love that isn't up to God's standards, that love that isn't completely rooted in, based in, and powered by God. And so we look at this list, and we're going to be going through this again in further weeks, but when you look at this list, you know, again, look at this. Love is patient, and you can stop, everybody here can stop and think of at least one relationship with somebody, even this week, where we haven't been patient with them. And what's really staggering about this list is that this is how we are supposed to relate to everybody, not just somebody in a, you know, not just a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, or relationship with our parents, but this is how we as Christians are even to love our enemies, right? Even people that we don't want to love or even hang out with or talk to. This is how we're supposed to love them. And so when we stop and we look at this list and we see that we're commanded to love one another as Jesus has loved us, and we're commanded to love everyone like this. Like, I don't know. I mean, to me, you know, I look at this and it's just, it's overwhelming. It's like, how, you know, there's no way to do this. You know, nobody loves me like this, right? Isn't that the first thought that kind of comes to mind is, well, nobody loves me like this. Why should I even make an effort to love anybody else like this? You know, or maybe we have a few people that, you know, do a pretty darn good job, but you know, we look at a list like this and we think, oh yeah, this would be great if it was real. This would be great if, you know, but who can ever love somebody and not, you know, keep record of wrong? Who can ever love somebody and always trust and always hope? Who can ever love somebody and always not be self-seeking or never be self-seeking? Right? Because we're all selfish. And if we're trying to expect a list like this to be met from other people, you know, we're going to be let down. And so we have, you know, as I look at this list, I see how I've been let down a lot by this list not being met for me, and how I've let a lot of people down by myself not meeting this list. And there's two points that I want to make. I'm just gonna make them, and then we're gonna kind of explain them a little bit, just so you know where I'm going here. the two things, points that I want to make is that, number one, is that the only one who loves us like this list, the only one who can meet these requirements that our heart has, because all of us, we all want to be loved like this. We all want to be loved like this, and we all look around in different places and get in different relationships and so on and so forth to try to find love like this, to try to find a love that just accepts us and loves us. And we go through many different things in life, but the only one who can meet this list in our lives for us to love us is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can meet this list. And we can look everywhere, we can criticize our parents, and we can, you know, get out of one bad relationship and hop into another one, only to find out that no matter where we go and no matter where we look, that the only one who loves us like this is Jesus. And so the next point that I want to make is that, so how do we, you know, how do we as Christians, how are we supposed to fulfill this command then? We're supposed to love. How are we going to fill this, you know, how are we going to do this? And the first question that might be, or, you know, the first one of the next thoughts that might be coming to some of your minds is, okay, well, if I want to get my love into shape and I want to love like Jesus does, and I want to, you know, be in a positive relationship, and if I want to have love like this, then what do I have to do? What's one of our first thoughts is, if I want to have love like this, then I just need to start, you know, I need to make a list of this in my head, and I need to make sure that every relationship that I'm in, I got to make sure I'm, you know, following these things and being patient, being kind, so on and so forth. And the point that I want to make is that also is not going to work. Even if we try to take this list or any list of what love is supposed to be, if we take any example, we could take, you know, and just study Jesus completely and find out everything Jesus did, and we can learn exactly, you know, and try to figure out exactly what Jesus thought and how he loved, and we can do that and try to duplicate that and try, you know, look at a list like this and try to duplicate this list, and we're still not going to be able to love like this. And the challenge that I want to make is that, you know, this a list like this is not to bring up hopelessness and despair, but a list like this is to again show that in the same way that the only one that can meet this list for our hearts and our needs, the only one who can love us like this is Jesus himself. The only one who can love the people in our lives. The only one who can love our girlfriend or our boyfriend. The only one who can love our parents. The only one who can love our friends. The only one who can love the people that are in our situations and in our lives is Jesus. He's the only one that can love us, and he's the only one that can love the people that we have in our lives. So then again, how do we put these two together? How do we take the command to love? How do we take the command to love and God being the source and God being the example of love? How do we demonstrate that? How does this actually work? And And as I was thinking about this, I made a connection between the work of Jesus on the cross with our righteous, you know, with us being sinners and in need and unable to be righteous, and we have a whole, you know, Old Testament, a whole book of the law of, here's a list of requirements, and here's what you got to do to be righteous, and us not being able to do that. I made a connection between that and like a list in 1 Corinthians of here's how to love, and not being able to do that. And what did Jesus do with that list of how to be righteous that we weren't able to do? He died on the cross, and he rose again, and he did it for us, because we weren't able to be righteous. And that righteousness is given to us as a free gift, right? Through faith. And what I've come to understand is that in the same way, in the same package deal, is that there's a love that God has for us and for all humanity that's included in that. That's not from ourselves, but it's from God. And our ability to be righteous, you know, we have no ability to be righteous, but Christ has every ability to be righteous in us. And he creates in us a righteousness. And in the same way, he can create in us this love. And we're going to, why don't you guys turn with me to towards the end of the Bible, 1 John. First John chapter 4. Love is something that is which is, we're going to look at this in just a second, but if you look at verse 8, the end of verse 8 in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, the end of verse 8 says, God is love. And something that's always blown my mind is, you know, to really understand what love is, you have to really understand who God is. And to really understand who God is, you have to know what love is. And that, you know, as I've thought about this over the years, that just the most perfect representation of all that God is found in love. And so we're just going to look at, we're going to look at this because this is important for us as Christians, as followers of God. It's important for us to really know what he's all about, to know, you know, if we're following him, where are we following him, and what is he all about. So we're going to look right here in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right there in those first few verses, he, like we mentioned before, he sets up, this is the source of love. The source of love is God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Love comes from God. The source of love is God. There is no other source of love. You can't pull love out from your own heart. You can't pull love out of somebody else. The only source that there is of love, as the Bible describes it, is in God. He is the creator of love. He himself is love. Only source is love. So we go on, verse 9. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And there, like we mentioned before, the example of love, right? The perfect example of love, as Sam mentioned, is Jesus. Because we were at a point, all of us were at a point, where we were enemies with God because of our sin, because of our unrighteousness. But God, as it says right here, in verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We were in a place where we were opposed to God just in our very nature, and God did something about it. And so he's the example. He's the example of love. Even with God, with his enemies, he goes forth in love to set things right and to do what's right. And that's the example for us also, is even in our situations. And so we have the source, we have the example, and then here, verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And what does that mean? What does that mean? No one has ever seen God. That's pretty easy to figure out. I don't know if anybody here has ever seen God. I haven't. Sometimes we see evidence of Him at work, and we see, we can look around at creation and admire His work and see hints of His presence, but none of us have ever seen God. And so what does this mean in verse 12 here? But if we love one another with love that comes from God, with the example being of Christ, if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. The challenge that I'm going to end with for you guys is there is a way for love. There is a way for love to happen. There is a way for love to happen in the relationships that we're in. And there is a way for us to see a list like 1 Corinthians 13 and say, amen, that's love. Instead of looking at that list and wondering why it's not happening. There is a way for this to happen, and it's of God, and it's in Jesus, and it's through the Holy Spirit. There's a source, there's an example, there's a demonstration. The source is in God, the example is in Jesus, and the demonstration of this love is in the Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's in us. And if we're trying to pull love out of our selfishness, if we're trying to pull love out of the part of us that Jesus died on the cross so that we didn't have to live that way anymore, if we're trying to pull love out of the part of us that is dead, then what kind of love are we going to get? And the challenge I have is to pull your love from the Holy Spirit, because that's the love that is of God. And our natural, and I know this from my own life, and you guys are starting to figure this out too, is that everywhere we look, all the relationships that we're in, and all the relationships, we're all trying to pull love out of ourselves. And we're all trying our best and our hardest to be loved and to feel loved and to give love. To give and receive love. And we're trying to do this in ourselves and in our flesh, in the part of us that we're dead to. And there's a part of us that we're alive to now, and that's in the Holy Spirit. And this is where this love comes from. So I'm going to end with that, and we're going to close in prayer, and then Andy has some announcements. Father God, God, we come before you as a bunch of people that, God, we're fully aware of our own shortcomings and our own inabilities and our own mistakes. And God, we're all also fully aware of just how every situation that we're in and everywhere we go, everywhere we look, every person that we talk to and every place that we go to, that there's just something that's not right with this world. And there's something that needs to be set right, God. And we have hope and we have faith in you and in your ability and in your Son to set these things right. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus that he is the hero of the story. God, we thank you for Jesus that he has done everything that we couldn't do and that he's done it for us. And God, I ask for myself as I'm learning this, and I ask for this group of people here that we would just be taught by you, God, instructed by you in how to live a life that is empowered by your Holy Spirit and how to love in a way that comes from you and doesn't come from us. And how to live in a way that is patient and is kind and is not self-seeking, and in a love that completely comes from you, God. And we ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen.